Turn with me this evening to Luke, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. The sermon this evening is about the parable commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal means or refers to one who recklessly spends his money. The text this evening are verses 11 through 24. But we're going to read the entire chapter of Luke 15, paying special attention to those verses, for we will not reread them. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and fell and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before telling these parables, had recently left the house of a chief Pharisee in Jerusalem. In that house, he had sat down by a table around which were many other Pharisees and scribes. And as they sat there and ate together, these Pharisees and scribes had pestered Jesus with all kinds of questions. They did this in order to test him, in order to test his teaching and his character. After Jesus had perfectly responded to each and every one of those questions, he rose up from that table and he exited that chief Pharisee's house to walk again on the streets of Jerusalem. As usual, we know, multitudes of men, women, and children gathered around him, following him, waiting to see his miracles and to hear what he had to say. As we see in verse 1 of the text, publicans and sinners drew nigh to Jesus. That means these publicans and sinners pushed through the crowds to get to our Lord. And when they came to Jesus, they pressed around him as close as they could to hear what he had to say. Jesus did what he had always done in the past. He talked with them, and no doubt he told them of their need to repent and turn from their sin. But the Pharisees and the scribes who had followed Jesus from that chief Pharisee's house saw Christ's nearness to these unclean sinners. And then they remember how Jesus had never hesitated in the past to sit down with these very same sinners and to eat and drink with them, just as he had eaten and drunk with them earlier that day. And they murmured against the Lord. Jesus Christ, seeing these two groups of people, the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes on the one hand, and the publicans and sinners on the other hand, tells these three parables in order to teach God's people of his salvation of lost sinners. He teaches them that God loves the sinners who belong to him. They are precious. They are valuable to him. Notice how in these three parables, the intrinsic value of each thing that is lost increases. In the first parable, we have one sheep out of 100. And this sheep, this lone sheep out of 100, is precious to the shepherd. And then in the next parable, we have a coin, only this time it is a silver coin, and it is 1 out of 10, and it is precious to the one who has lost it. And in the third parable, the parable we consider this evening, a beloved son, 1 out of 2 is lost, one that the Father loves. With these parables, Jesus Christ seeks to teach us and the people of his day of God's love of the lost child of his. God the Father loves sinners who are his children. And because he loves them, he desires their salvation. Because God's love is an amazing and a powerful love, those children whom he desires to save will surely be saved. How does he do that? He works repentance in the hearts of his children so that they turn, they return to him. Consider this first part of the third parable with me under the theme, the Father's love for his straying son. The Father's love for his straying son. First, the love disdained. Second, the love remembered. And third, the love manifested. The love disdained, the love remembered, and the love manifested. In this parable, Jesus Christ teaches that God the Father has great love for his Son. But the Son disdains that love. In this parable, the prodigal son disdains his father's love, especially with three root sins. First of all, this young man's sin was a hatred for his father. Oh, he loved his father's things. He loved the house that his father gave to him and provided for him. He loved the shelter. He loved the food that the father gave to him and put on his table. He loved the money that his father gave to him when he needed. He loved his father's things, but he hated his father. And he shows this hatred for his father when he demands what he does in verse 12. Give me the portion of the goods that falleth unto me. This young man was demanding the inheritance that he was to get when his father died. This self-centered renegade was implying that he would rather have his father die so that he could receive his father's things. He hated his father. And secondly, he showed his hatred for his father by leaving to go to that foreign land. In that foreign land, he thought he would never see his father again. But this young man's sin was not only a hatred for his earthly father. It was a hatred for his heavenly father. This young son had a father who was a godly parent. This parent compelled the young man to worship God. This parent made rules in his household that were in line with the commandments of God's word. But the young rebel hated such holy living. He hated the fact that he was forced to go to worship in Jerusalem on the Sabbath. He hated the fact that he had to obey the laws of God as he lived in his father's house, because he hated Jehovah. And so, in hatred for God, he went to that far country. In that far country, there was no temple to Jehovah. In that far country, he did not have to go to worship. In that far country, he did not have to obey anyone's laws or rules. But this young man's sin was not only a hatred for his earthly father and Jehovah God, but thirdly, it was selfish, foolish pride. Look at what he says in verse 12 again. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. To this young man, it was all about me, me, me. He wanted his part in the inheritance so that he could serve himself. In his selfish pride, he wanted the freedom that that foreign country had to offer. He wanted the freedom, the supposed freedom that the world had to offer. I want to be independent, he thought. I want to do what I want to do. No one's the boss of me. In his selfish pride, he left his father so that he could serve himself. And then in his pride, he thought he could survive in that country. He thought, I'm strong enough. I'm capable to supply for myself all that I need, both physically and spiritually. And so he left his father. He left the watchful eye and the caring eye of the father who loved him. And then we see his selfish pride again when he was in that foreign land. For what did he see but the lusts of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh? And he wanted them all. He wanted all of it for himself. And so he spent every last set on the pleasures of the world. Young man, young woman, is this your sin? Perhaps it's not the foolish spending of your money, but what about the selfish pride and the independent spirit and the despising of God's house and a disrespect for your parents? God's word identifies you then as that straying sinner. The straying son committed these sins and then felt an awful misery. This feeling of misery came quickly when the high feeling of sinful living faded away. The misery set in. He had spent all his money. He didn't have clothing. He didn't have a place to live. And most of all, he needed food. His belly was empty and he did not have any money to fill his belly. Verse 14 says that he began to be in want. And God in his providence then sent the trial of famine. No food then was in the land. He could not even beg for a piece of bread, for no one would give him any. And so what did he do but join himself to a citizen of that foreign country? That means he made himself a slave to a man of that land. But there was a famine in the land. The citizen had no need for another man. This young man was simply another mouth to feed to this citizen. There was no love there. So the citizen sent this young rebel to tend to his pigs, to his swine, to his hogs. The Jewish man was sent to tend to unclean pigs. Now, forsaking one's father is dishonorable, and the spending of all of one's money is embarrassing. And to be someone's slave, that's humiliating. But for a Jew to tend to unclean pigs was utterly shameful. All the Jews listening to Jesus as he told this parable must have crinkled their noses and shuddered at such an unclean thought. But we not Jews, can imagine how gross and unclean this was. This young man sat in the mud and the filth of these pigs. And to make things worse, he was still starving. In tending to the pigs, he was supposed to be able to eat the pigs' food, the husks of the text. These husks do not refer to corn husks, but they refer to pods or beans that grew on trees in those days. This was pig food, but humans could eat it. It was edible. Yet verse 16 says that no man gave him to eat. It was not that he refused to eat this food, for the same verse 16 says that he desired to fill his belly with the swine's food, but no man gave him to eat. This is the picture. This young man is sitting in the filth of the pigs, on his knees or on his rear, perhaps. And the men that came to feed the pigs came with sacks upon their shoulders, filled with pods. They came to the trough of that pigsty, and they poured the beans into that trough. But before this young, miserable wretch could get up from his position, the pigs ran to that trough, perhaps trampling over this young boy, and packed around that trough so tightly that this young man could not, in his weak state, squeeze between two of these animals to get one bean. This young man was miserable. The unclean pigs ate, and he didn't. Do you see the downward spiral of misery that this young man experienced because of his sin? In this parable of the straying son, Jesus Christ gives to us a graphic illustration of the sinner and his misery. But the sinner is not only a picture of the young rebel that hates his parents and as God. This is a picture of every elect child of God, for we are all sinners. The prodigal son of this parable is a picture of you and of me who know that we are sinners. First of all, we know we are sinners because we have sinned in Adam. That's what God's word says in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned in this one man, Adam. When he disobeyed God in that garden, it is as if we disobeyed God. He is our head. When he disobeyed God, we disobeyed God. Because he is guilty, we are guilty. All of us have sinned in Adam. But that is not all. We have also inherited Adam's corrupt nature, and we know this in our hearts. We know this from our experience, for we sin over and over and over again. The younger son of this parable is a picture of me and of you who in pride and in selfishness continue to sin again and again in our lives. We commit the same sins as this young man. Whenever we sin, we act in hatred for God and in selfish pride. Like the straying son, we sinners show our hatred and pride by taking a spiritual journey away from our Father. For whenever we sin, it is as if we turn our backs upon our God. And we take a step away from His presence. And when we continue in that sin, we are in that foreign land. We are far away from the presence of our God. We do this whenever we sin. Any sin takes us away from Him. With disdain for our Father's love, that is often what we do. The sinner of this parable is a picture of one who may be under discipline. But this is a picture of any sinner who may not have committed a public sin, but his heart is straying far away into the distant lands of sin. But the sinners, you and I, this is not time to think of our brother or our sister or our son or our daughter. But this is who you are, and this is who I am. Like the straying son of the parable, the man or the woman who sins experiences great misery as a result of that sin. As a straying son quickly lost all of his things and began to be in want, so unrepentant sinners quickly lose all spiritual blessings. The spiritual nourishment that once came with the preaching of the word and through the sacraments disappears. The blessings of the church, the fellowship of the saints, become absent. The unrepentant sinner may continue to show himself in church, but he is spiritually far away, miserable, starving spiritually. And as the straying son of this parable attached himself to the owner of pigs, so easy it is for sinners to seek relief and satisfaction somewhere else other than the Father. The riches of the world, perhaps, the comforts of life. The world offers entertainment where sinners can lose themselves in the fictional books and the fictional movies of this world so that they do not have to think of their sin. Drugs, sex, alcohol. These are supposed to bring relief from the misery that is a result of sin. But really, these things are like the pigsty. There's nothing, nothing but the Father that can lessen this misery. The sinner, as he seeks to find relief in anything else, spirals downward into more and more misery. Sons and daughters, have you disdained the Father's love and are experiencing this misery. And straying some of the parables sat in his misery with the pigs until he remembered the Father's love. This Father's love was an abiding love. It was a love that continued. It was constant. How do we know that? Evidence of this fact is seen in verse 12. When the son returns, the father sees him afar off. We get the picture of the old man, perhaps with a beard and a long robe, pacing back and forth on his porch, waiting, hoping, praying for his son to return. The love of the father for his son continued. While the son was with him in that house, the father loved him. And even when that son rejected him and showed hatred to him, his love abode. The father, however, does not only show his love by waiting eagerly for his return, but the father also shows his love by allowing his son to leave in order to suffer the consequences. This was loving chastisement. Notice how quickly and easily the father seems to hand over his property to the son and allow him to leave. Verse 12 records the son saying, Give me the portion of the goods that falleth unto me. And what does this father do? Almost immediately, it seems, the father hands over those possessions and allows his son to sell those possessions and get that money and take off. This is not a picture of an irresponsible father, people of God. This is a picture of a father who knew the weaknesses of his son. And with such great love for his son, allowed his son to leave so that his son would suffer the consequences. This parable reveals the great love of our Heavenly Father. God loves his children exactly because they are his children. But in and of ourselves, we are not children of the Father. In and of ourselves, we are enemies of God. So how? How are we children? We know this. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, God has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In his good pleasure, God the Father, before the foundation of the world, chose a people unto himself to adopt as his children on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ, his Son. We are his children, and thus he loves us in Christ. And in love for his sons and his daughters, God the Father, like the father of the parable, waits in heaven for his children, his sinning children, to return to him. But the father of this parable is unlike God our Father. For God does not wait helplessly, wringing his hands and hoping. But God our Father is active. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth, King of the universe, who controls every single detail of the lives of his child, including the very wills of us. And he controls everything so that his son and his daughter returns to him. And like the father of the parable, God also chastises us in love. But unlike the father of the parable, God our Father does not simply allow us to leave, but he follows us with his hard hand of chastisement so that we turn back to him. He makes the straying son experience that spiritual famine. He causes that son or that daughter to feel that misery and that continuing and increasing misery when he seeks to find relief in anywhere else. Do you experience this misery of the straying son? Is God using the church as his means to discipline and bring that misery upon you so that you repent? Are you a child of God who perhaps has never sincerely repented of your sin? But God the Father gives you no peace as a result. Are you one who sins over and over and over again and knows your sin? Then the call of Jesus Christ in this parable is return, repent, O straying son and daughter. For the Father brings this chastisement upon you in love, and He waits for you to return in love. The straying son sat in his misery until, as verse 17 says, he came to himself. The Father's chastisement got so great, the misery so great, that he woke up as out of a dream. He came to himself. He remembered the Father's love. This was the beginning of repentance. Repentance is that act of turning from one's sin and turning back to the Father and confessing one's sin to that Father. The straying son's repentance began when he came to himself and sorrowed over his sin and his misery. Through the chastisement, the Holy Spirit worked in this young man's heart. He worked in this young man's heart, first of all, a knowledge of his misery. He saw in verse 17, I perish with hunger. He understood finally that he was starving to death apart from his Father and his Father's love. And secondly, the Holy Spirit worked in this young man's heart and knowledge that he was suffering these consequences as a result of his sin. If he had remained with his Father, if he had not rejected his Father, he would still be enjoying his Father's presence and having bread and enough to spare, as he says. But because he had shown hatred for his Father, he was suffering the consequences. This is the first stop of true repentance and conversion. One must realize his misery. And then secondly, one must realize that it is his sin that has brought this misery. And then thirdly, he must realize that he must sorrow over that sin. You must be truly sorry for that sin. No, people of God, not sorry for the consequences, not sorry for the misery that has come as a result of the sin, but sorry for the sin itself, the sin of hatred, the sin of pride. Knowing his sin and his misery, this straying son forsook his sin and turned back to the Father and confessed his sin. He resolved to arise, to get up out of that filthy place with the pigs and take that long journey back to his Father. But notice two things about his confession. I have sinned, he says in verse 18 and 21. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Confession is first of all to God in heaven. That is what this young son is saying when he says, I have sinned against heaven. He knows that he has sinned first of all against God. And thus he confesses his sin to God and then to his Father. One must realize this. And notice secondly, the total humility. Gone is that selfish pride from before. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. With a demeanor of utter humility, he sorrows over his sin. He returns to his Father and he confesses his sin first to God and then to his Father. This is true repentance. This is the repentance that is required of every sinner. We must realize that our sin is done in hatred for God and his foolish pride. We must turn from that sin. We must sorrow for that sin. We must hate that sin. We must flee from that sin and return to our Heavenly Father to confess that sin humbly before Him. And then we must go to our neighbor and also there confess our sin. And then, like that straying son, we will experience God's love and forgiveness. For the father of the parable manifested that love and forgiveness to the straying son when he returned. The father shows his great love for his son by making him experience this forgiveness. He makes him see that forgiveness. The father sees his son afar off. And what does he do? He puts aside all dignity that an old man has. He gathers up his robe so it would not get in the way of his knees. And he sprints to his son to show his son that he has forgiven him even before his son has confessed his sin. And then he wants his son to feel that love and forgiveness. So when he gets to his son, he embraces his son and he kisses him tenderly. This, people of God, is a wonderful picture of the great love and forgiveness that God, our Heavenly Father, will show to us when we repent. For He will work His Spirit in our hearts to give us assurance of His forgiveness and abiding love. It does not matter what we have done. It does not matter who we are according to man's standards. But in the way of repentance, God will show His love and forgiveness to His child. How can God the Father do that? We're rotten sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to make us righteous before the face of God. God, the righteous judge, loves us because of Christ. He already views us as cleansed by Christ. Why do we not experience His love and forgiveness already? Because He takes that experience away from us when we sin. But in the way of confession of our sin, in the way of repentance, He will pour out His love and forgiveness into our hearts and declare that to us. Repent, people of God. Here is the ultimate motivation to repent. For the Father loves us in Jesus Christ. And He is waiting to receive His child with open arms to run to Him and to show Him His love. Do you see that love personally, people of God? Dear sinner who trembles at the very thought of standing before the Holy God with your gruesome sin, do you see the Father's willingness to forgive you no matter what sin it is, no matter how gross it is, because of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Dear sinner who sins again and again and again and commits the same sin again and again, do you see the love of the Father to forgive time and time again? Let us repent and we will experience that forgiveness. The Father manifested His love when He received the straying son back in full forgiveness. But He does more. He restores His son as a son. He makes him know that he is restored as a child of God. He says in verse 22 to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." With these acts, the Father proves to his son that he is a son. Not just any old robe, not a robe that the servants were wearing, but the best robe, says the Father. "Give him the best robe." It would have been enough to clothe him as a servant. But the Father says, "No, clothe him as a son. Put a ring on his hand." A ring had a seal on it. And that ring signified authority. This young man was restored back as one, not as a servant, but one who had authority over the servants, a son, an heir. And the father said, put sandals on his feet. Servants did not have the privilege of that foot protection as they worked in their master's house. But the father said, give him shoes, give him sandals. He is a son. But do you see the point at which this young man fully realized his status as son? Oh, sure, yes. With these acts, the father showed it to him. But look at verse 24. Nothing was more rewarding than what the father gave to the boy. In verse 24, where the father says, this, my son was dead and is alive again. This, my son, oh, his heart, oh, how his heart must have leapt at the sound of that word, my son. This declaration was truly exhilarating. And this is God's promise to his children as well. As the straying son's father showed to the young boy his full restoration as son, so God, through his word, shows this to the repentant sinner. Scriptures do that in many instances, but 1 John 3, verse 1 will suffice for us. Take heed, fellow sinners. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or daughters of God. When we repent, the Father not only gives us full forgiveness and shows us his love, but he restores us back as son. He assures us of it, but he does more. The father of the parable receives the son by organizing the most wonderful banquet he can in celebration of his son's return. The celebration was truly extraordinary. It was extraordinary. For we know with the conversation that this father had with the older son later on, that the father had never killed the fatted calf. But now he does, to celebrate his son's return. And there was much music and dancing to celebrate as well. This illustrates the great joy that God the Father, with Christ Jesus our Lord, and all the angels have in heaven when one sinner repents. Why? Why do they have such joy? Verse 24 gives the reason. For, says the Father, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They rejoice because the grand purpose of God is being realized. Sinners who are the children of God are restored. They are brought back into his fellowship. And God is glorified thereby. That is why heaven rejoices. Does the love of the Father motivate you? Dear sinner, to repent of your sin. If you are yet in your sin, child of God, realize that your misery is a result of his loving chastisement. Realize that when you turn from your sin and confess that sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you, to receive you back as a son, and realize that there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. And then realize, people of God, that one day we will all, as God's children, enjoy a feast like the one pictured here in the parable. For we will gather around the table, the marriage feast of the Lamb of God, and fellow sinners will exclaim together, well, we were once dead, and we are now alive. We were lost, and we are now found. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, show us thy mercy. Make us experience a continual turning, a continual conversion back to thee. For we are so prone as sinners to stray into the foreign lands of sin. Father, forgive us. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.